recording. The period between Pesach and Shavuos is almost like a Chol HaMoed, which has that kind of simcha status as the connector between the two chagim. So it's not surprising, actually, that the halachas of Pesach follow through into and carry on through Sfirat HaOmer. And in fact, we will see today that that has some really fascinating implications for how we deal with chametz afterwards. So let's have a look at the sheet. I sent you the sheet, or the sheet was there on the link as well beforehand. What I will do is, if anybody is tech savvy enough to pick this up, I will just put the sheet here on the group chat, if I'm able to do that, so that if anyone didn't get the sheet, they can just download it. That should have, if you're on a computer anyway, it may not work on a phone, you should be able to click that now on the group chat, and you've got the sheet as well. But I will share the screen too, which hopefully will work. Can you now see my screen? Thumbs up if you can see the screen. Excellent. Good. Okay, so let's make a start. What could be the issue with chometz after Pesach? So the Mishnah clearly says here, in number one, let's start with number one, chometz shel nachri she'ava alav Pesach. If there was chometz on Pesach that belonged to a non-Jew, so any chometz which belonged to a non-Jew after Pesach, mutar b'hana'ah, you're allowed to get benefit from that. If Tesco, Safeways, Walmart own their own chometz, it's a non-Jewish company, Tesco's maybe used to be a Jewish company, that's long gone, as far as I'm aware. So you're allowed to benefit from it. Are you allowed to eat it? Are you allowed to go to a non-Jewish supermarket and buy non-Jewish owned chometz after Pesach? So we'll see. Yes, you are, but it's not so straightforward. However, v'shel Yisrael, but chometz which was owned by a Jew over Pesach, asur b'hana'ah. You may not get any benefit from that after Pesach. So we'll see what that means exactly right now. Okay, number two, the Gemara picks this up. We'll quickly learn a couple of Gemaras to give us the background so that we understand what's coming up. The Gemara picks this up and says, number two, Mani Masnisin. Who is this Mishnah following? Which view is this Mishnah following? Like a Rabbi Yehuda, but like a Rabbi Shimon, there are two, actually there are three, but I only gave you two. There are two main views that it could be following, and it seems to follow neither. Why not? Maihi, what is this question of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in the Gemara? The Tanya, Chamet Shebein, Bein Lifnei Zmano, Bein La'achaz Zmano, so we'll see Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that Chamet even before Pesach, on Erev Pesach, and after Pesach, Achaz Zmano, Oida Alav Balav. To eat Chamet after Pesach, which was in existence on Pesach, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is a Torah prohibition today. To eat a piece of pasta that existed during Pesach, according to him, a Jew, certainly if a Jew owned it, we'll see soon, is a Torah prohibition. Toch Zmano, and during Pesach, Oida Alav Balav Uvakaris. And during Pesach, it's even worse. It's not only a prohibition, but it's Chiyuv Kares, it's a much more serious prohibition. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda's view. Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon seems to say, Chomet Shilifnei Zmano, La'achaz Zmano, before Pesach and after Pesach, Chomet is not prohibited at all. Eina Oida Alav V'Laklum. There is no prohibition after Pesach at all of eating Chomet that was in existence during Pesach. Toich Zmano, of course, during Pesach, Oida Alav V'Karis V'Laf. So, my time with Rabbi Yehuda was Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. You'll see the Gemara says he has three different psukim. One pasuk he uses for before Pesach, one pasuk for during Pesach, and one pasuk for after Pesach. And he holds it's a Torah prohibition. And Rabbi Shimon, who seems to say after Pesach there is no problem, he uses these other psukim for something else. So who does our Mishnah follow? This first Mishnah that we saw originally... just 1 second. I'm just going to make sure everybody is muted. This first Mishnah that we saw in number one, excuse me, first Mishnah we saw in number one, who does that follow? Because if it followed Rabbi Yehuda, there should be a prohibition of chometz completely after Pesach. If it follows Rabbi Shimon, there should be no prohibition of chometz after Pesach. So who does it follow? So look at number three. So the Gemara clarifies, and this will be the halacha going forwards. Mani Masnisin, so who is our Masnisin? E Rabbi Yehuda, chometz damaka amma. If it's Rabbi Yehuda, okay, then all chometz should be prohibited after Pesach. Afilu the nachri, even a non-Jew's chometz. The E Rabbi Shimon, but if it's Rabbi Shimon, the Israel Nami Mishra Kashari, a Jew's chometz should also be permitted. So you will see there is a machlokas amoraim. The later rabbis of the Gemara say two different opinions. Amar of Achabar Yaakov, says, La'ilan Rabbi Yehuda he. He says, he thinks that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that actually chometz after Pesach, certainly owned by a Jew, is a Torah prohibition. However, Rava Amar, and this we'll see, is the halacha, Rava said, no, La'ilan Rabbi Shimon he. It is actually Rabbi Shimon, which this Mishnah follows. And why does Rabbi Shimon say that there is any prohibition at all? We saw before, Rabbi Shimon holds it only during Pesach. After Pesach, there's no problem. So no. Rabbi Shimon knasa kanis. And these words are critical. Knasa kanis. Rabbi Shimon made a knas, a penalty, a rabbinic penalty. Hoil va'avar alav b'val yiroyeh. Since this Jew, and clearly it has to be a Jew, not a non-Jew, because a non-Jew doesn't have a prohibition on Pesach, since this Jew transgressed b'al yiroyeh, b'al yimatzeh, this chometz becomes prohibited as a penalty for all other Jews after Pesach. In order what? To discourage, and we'll see this is an important point, to discourage Jews from holding on to chometz during Pesach and then lying about it afterwards and say, oh no, I sold it, I got rid of it, and da-da. No, any chometz which was owned by a Jew on Pesach, says Rabbi Shimon, we'll see now the Rambam holds this way, is prohibited on a rabbinic level as a knas, as a penalty. Look at the Rambam here, number 4. Chometz sha'av alav ha-Pesach asa b'hanaya la'olam. Chometz which was owned by a Jew on Pesach is prohibited to benefit from. You can't eat it, you can't sell it, you can't get any benefit from it, you can't give it away. Always. V'davar ze knasu. And this is a knas, this is a rabbinic penalty. Midivrei sofrim, on a rabbinic level. We'll see that's very important when it comes to halachic questions coming up soon. Mipnei sha'av al b'al-yirai b'al-yamaseh. Because there was a Jew who transgressed the prohibition on only chometz. So all of the Jews may not eat that chometz. Asru, they prohibited that chometz. Afilu hinichu b'shkaga ba'oines. Now we see something new. Even if the Jew was b'shkaga, the Jew never realized that he had that chometz or she had that chometz. Doesn't matter. Even ba'oines, what's oines? Oines is, they couldn't do anything about it. It was beyond their control. We'll see what that level of oines is. It seems that chometz is still prohibited, even if the Jew owned it without ever really knowing that they owned it. Today, so that shalo yaniach adam chometz b'rishuso, we don't want people to cheat, because people don't want to get rid of their chometz. People want to have it for afterwards. We don't want people to cheat on Pesach, kedei sheyihane bo achar Pesach, so they can eat the chometz after Pesach. And that is clearly the way that the Rambam paskens and the Halachis paskens, like Rabbi Shimon in the Gemara, that chometz after Pesach is a rabbinic prohibition. Now, number 5 I'm not going to deal with in great detail, but there is an opinion in the Rishonim that this even applies to a lesser extent to chometz of a non-Jew. Even chometz owned by non-Jewish people or companies may, according to this opinion, still be prohibited, but only to eat. You're allowed to sell it or deal in it or whatever. But we actually do not paskin like that opinion. We rule, and I'll bring you the Shulchan Aruch. This will set the scene for the rest of the shiur. The Shulchan Aruch clearly rules, number 6, Chametz shel eina Yehudi, a chametz of a non-Jew, she'avala Pesach mutar afila ba'achila. You can even eat it. No prohibition at all. We don't follow that stringent opinion of the Itur. You can go to Walmart, to Sainsbury's, you can buy chametz after Pesach that a non-Jew owned, eat it, Gesundheit. However, 6, at the end, Gimel in 6, Chometz shel Yisrael, but a Jew's Chometz, she'avala Pesach, which they owned over Pesach, aso b'hana'a, you may not benefit, afilu hainicha shogeg ha'ones, even if the Jew, as we said before, was mistakenly owned the Chometz, or even ba'ones, we'll see, define that in a minute. Ve'im machro, here we see something new. What if the Jew sold the Chometz? I don't know about you, you probably sold your Chometz. I sold my Chometz before Pesach. What if the Jew sold the chometz and bought it back? Is that real? The im machro or nitno la ein yehudi. What if the Jew gave it away to a non-Jew or sold it to a non-Jew? Shemichutz lebayis and kept it outside the house. Now I'm not getting into a whole discussion here about mechirat chometz. Selling chometz is a whole topic which we dealt with about 3 years ago. I put in the footnotes here a reference to the shir, which is on my website. You should maybe be able to find it on the OU as well, about mechirat chometz. Is Mechirat Chometz real? Is it a loophole? Is it a legal fiction? Do you really have to get the Chometz out of the house? How does that work? That is beyond the scope of today's shiur. Let's just leave it to say that the Minhag Yisrael, the certainly the Jewish custom is to allow Mechirat Chometz, certainly for businesses. It's not even clear that the Torah was actually looking to prohibit mass commercial ownership of chometz in the millions of dollars of a business on Pesach. It's not clear that's really, clearly that is halakhically prohibited. But the idea of mechiras chometz is to enable you to structure so that that chometz is outside the ownership. Private chometz, okay, people, some people are very strict not to sell chometz, but Minhag Yisrael is to allow it. And therefore, if the, says Shulchan Aruch, if the Jew sold the chometz, koidem haPesach, back into number 6, even though the Jew knows that the non-Jew won't really touch the chometz, that they'll keep it, they'll look after it, alive for the Jew, as la'achar Pesach, and they'll even sell it back to them, or give it back to them, Musa, that's fine. Says the Shulchan Aruch, you don't have to worry about selling chometz. If the Jew properly sold the chometz, bought it back after Pesach, no problem. As long as it's real. As long as it's a real gift or a real sale, Belishum tonight can't be a it can't be a sham. It can't just be a conditional sale. Or Shein Karen Alon Mechira Gemurah, it has to be a real sale, a real gift, B'davar Muad for a down payment, etc. Aval Matana Alamas Alamas Lahachsir Loi Mahani. But if you just make a sham arrangement with the non-Jew, oh, I'll give you, I'll sell you my chometz, you'll give it back. That doesn't work. There has to be a real possibility of the non-Jew actually buying the chometz. Rabbi Riskin and Ephrat, as far as I'm aware, every year when he organizes a sale of chometz, maybe this year he didn't do it, but usually he arranges for the non-Jew to actually knock on the door of one of the people in the community that sold the chometz and said, hello, I'm the fellow that you sold your chometz to, I'd like you to deliver it up, please, because I bought it from you, just so that no one's ever going to know who's going to get that knock on the door. It's real, it's not something which is a joke or a sham, the sale of the chometz is a real thing. Okay, fine. So, selling the chometz is real, and if you sell the chometz, that works out. The Pesach, the Mishnah Berurah clarifies, and then we'll finish this first part of the Shia, the Mishnah Berurah clarifies that this applies to what? To any chometz which you would have been prohibited to keep on Pesach. If you broke the Torah, or would have broken the Torah mitzvah of Bali Rai Bali Matzah, of only chometz on Pesach, that chometz is what is prohibited after Pesach to all other Jews. But let's say it was only rabbinically prohibited. Let's say it was batel. It was nullified in a proportion that was already on a Torah level batel. Then that is not prohibited after Pesach. For example, let's say you had a kugel with a very tiny amount of flour in it. So you can't obviously own that or eat that on Pesach. But after Pesach, that will be okay. Or something which was a rabbinic prohibition, like a davar hamamid, some chometz which actually gives structure or texture to the chometz. So there may be certain allowances after Pesach for that. But in principle, all products which are chometz on Pesach are prohibited after Pesach. Now, what does that mean? That means in practice that anything which is chometz, obviously flour, cake and cookies, and pretzels and pasta and soy sauce, anything made from the five grains, beer, we'll talk about whiskey in a minute. Is whiskey chometz? What do you think? Yes or no? I see a few nods. Yes, whiskey's definitely chometz. Well, you're right, but it's not quite that straightforward. We'll see soon in a minute. Okay? And also anything, by the way, which is which you might not think is chometz, but is chometz, for example, flour. Raw flour or raw oats are pre-processed today and pre-washed, which makes them pretty much chometz. And therefore, all of those things you would have to get rid of or sell before Pesach. And after Pesach, if they weren't sold, then they would be prohibited. Okay? So it seems very straightforward. A shop has to sell the chometz. And after Pesach, you'll see that a Teudah appears in the shop. I'm sure you're all familiar that this shop is not only kosher, but the shop sold its chometz, and the sale was kedas and kedin. In Israel, obviously, this is a very big affair. And there seems to be no way of avoiding this. Chometz has to be sold, otherwise it's prohibited after Pesach. Okay, so let's get into some... All of that is by way of introduction. I'm sure you knew all of this. But let's just now look at some of the interesting applications. What about bad guys? What about people who sell their chometz? This was a real thing in America, and still is maybe, but it certainly was in the 60s, 70s, 80s. A real thing in America, people sell their chometz, but they continue to trade in the chometz on Pesach. You have a supermarket owned by a Jewish, non-observant owner, who says, yes, yes, I'll sell my chometz to the rabbi before Pesach, but I'm not closing my shop. I'm not losing my business. And they continue to sell chometz during Pesach. What is the status of that? Does that basically tell you the whole thing is nonsense? Can you shop in that store after Pesach? If there are a few internet issues, I see, it's saying, you may have lost me for a little bit. I don't know if you lost me for a second there. Hopefully you can still hear me. Can you hear me now? Thumbs up from someone? Yeah, good, excellent. Can you shop in that shop when they sold their chometz but they kept open? So have a quick look here. You'll see, I don't want to spend too much time on this because there are some more interesting cases coming up. But if you look at the screen here, this was already an old question. The Stei Chemed. Now, the Stei Chemed is living in Eretz Yisrael 150 years ago. Look at what he says in number 8. V'zot l'hodia. I want to let you know. Ki lifnei ezer shanim, a few years ago in Israel, the following happened. Ma'aseh be'ir hazot. There was a problem that happened here in Israel. She'echad macha chometz anochri, b'chol ha'moed. Okay, someone sold all of their chometz for Pesach to a non-Jew. V'ois ha'chometz, hu mechlalas ha'chometz she'macha la'akom, chodim ha'pesach. They were selling chometz on Chol HaMoed, which was the very same chometz that they sold to non-Jews before Pesach. Meaning, it sounds like the Mechiras chometz was a nonsense. They sold their chometz through the Rav, and yet they continued to sell it to customers on Pesach. Says the Stei Chemed, V'asati kol chemzal, I made a ban on all his chometz. La'acha Pesach, l'chol Yisrael, for any Jew. V'kein huchlus v'batik knesios, we made an announcement in shul, shekol chemzal shel ploini asur, all this chometz is prohibited, l'chol bar Yisrael, to any Jew. Why? Look why. Shekivein sheshalach yadu b'mashim ochol ha'akum. Since this Jew basically took back on Pesach the chometz that he had purportedly sold to a non-Jew, nitbatla hamachira shelifnei Pesach. This is an important point, which I just want to flag to you here. Here. This point here, nitbatla hamachira shelifnei Pesach. The fact that they were selling chometz on Pesach indicates that they didn't really mean the sale. And therefore what? V'have chometz shel Yisrael she'avah alav Pesach. And this chometz was basically chometz which had been owned by a Jew on Pesach, and therefore was prohibited for the non-Jew, for any Jews afterwards. And he said, I found support for this, etc. So, according to one opinion, the Stei Chemed, also the Maharam Shik, if the Jew opens his shop during Pesach, it shows that the sale was nonsense. And another Jew may not buy that chometz after Pesach. Rav Moshe Feinstein disagrees. And Rav Moshe Feinstein was dealing in 1957 with a shaila from a Rav. Very interesting shaila. A Rav wrote to Rav Moshe and said, listen, I'm the Rav of the town. This non-religious, this non-observant Jew in the town sells his chometz through me. And I found out he's opening Chol HaMoed and he's selling the same chometz that he sold to a non-Jew. He's selling that to customers. Should I continue to help him to sell his chometz? Yes or no? Is it worth it if he's opening the shop on Pesach? So what do you think Rav Moshe said? Rav Moshe said, yes, you should continue to sell the chometz because the chometz sale does work. He disagrees with the Stei Chemed. Have a look in number 9 here, very briefly. I'm not going to get into all the details. Says Rav Moshe, chenvenim, shopkeepers, shemoichrim chintam al yidei Rav Kenog. They sell the chometz through the Rav. V'hu chashud, but they are chashud. They're suspected. La'avo l'iskor b'chometz ha'Pesach. We know that they're selling the same chometz on Pesach. The noto kol mashi tzarchlim kol b'Pesach me'elu ha'chometz shemacha al yidei Rav. And they take the stock that they sold through the Rav and they sell that on Pesach. Says Rav Moshe, pashut she'ein ze bitl al ha'machira. I don't think it does remove the original sale. Ki mitzad tanai ha'machira ha'okim nichtav v'shtar. Because what does it say in the sale of chometz? It says the non-Jew agrees in the shtar mechira, in the sale document, shema sheyitol yihye kekoina az, that after Pesach they will make a valuation of what chometz is. The non-Jew will take that. V'itzarech lechot mehasach shechayav lo ha'akum, and they'll just subtract the value of the chometz that the Jew sold on Pesach from the final calculation. Meaning, why does this non-Jew care? So the Jew sold the chometz on Pesach. He sold, I don't know, $1,000 worth of chometz. Fine, so the non-Jew will just knock $1,000 off the price. The non-Jew doesn't care. Says Rav Moshe, the sale is a good sale. Umimela ein kan shum bitl al mechira. There's no problem with the sale. Umashaloi lakach hushal akum. And whatever the Jew didn't sell on Pesach belongs to the non-Jew if he wants to buy it back. And therefore, the sale is a good sale. Says Rav Moshe, therefore, Of course, the chometz that the Jew actually sold on Pesach, that you can't eat after Pesach, because the Jew took that, if you like, into his ownership. But the rest of the stock you can for sure buy after Pesach. What about this action of the Jew? Was he stealing from the non-Jew? If he sold the chometz to the non-Jew and then sold the same chometz to somebody else, is that gezeila? Is that theft? Says Rav Moshe, well, it might be, but again, it's not necessarily. Why not? Because the non-Jew will just discount that from the price, and everybody can move on happily afterwards. And therefore, clearly, this Jew acted improperly on Pesach. He should not have been selling chometz at all, certainly not chometz he'd pre-sold. But that wasn't, says the Rav Moshe, did not destroy the Mechiras chometz, and you can buy from the shop afterwards. Rav Shlomo Zalman agrees with this. Rav Soloveitchik did not. Rav Soloveitchik took the position that if the Jew keeps trading on Pesach, the whole thing is nonsense. And the OU takes that position, by the way. When the OU enters into an arrangement with a Jewish shop to sell the chometz, they make it very clear that if you open your shop on Pesach, then this sale is not valid. Okay, Rav Moshe is not interested in that. Rav Moshe thinks the sale is valid. He's not getting into the inner workings of the minds of everybody. He says, we don't know what everyone's thinking. Maybe this Jewish shop owner really does want to sell the chometz to the non-Jew so that frum customers will be able to buy afterwards. Later on, Rav Moshe did add that we don't think we should encourage Jews to buy from there. Okay, why not? Because maybe, this is an important point, maybe the Jewish shop owner bought new chometz from the distributor during Pesach. Think about this. There's the chometz he owned before, and there's the chometz he buys on Pesach. The chometz he buys on Pesach, that for sure is not included in the sale, says Rav Moshe, and therefore you'll never know when you buy in the shop afterwards whether you're buying chometz that he had before or chometz that he got during Pesach, and therefore you should not give the guy a tuda afterwards that he sold his chometz. You shouldn't try and encourage people to buy from him. By the way, I brought you in the footnote, those of you who are from New Jersey will know Rabbi Pinchas Teitz. Rabbi Teitz, who was the Rav of Elizabeth in New Jersey, he actually went even further than Rav Moshe. He says, I even think that the chometz that the Jew buys during Pesach could also be included in the Mechiras chometz, and he used to do Mechiras chometz for all of the Jewish stores, many of whom were non-observant in New Jersey. You can look at that further. I put you, giving you a footnote. Okay, fine. So that deals with the issue of a shop that is open during Pesach. But let's get into something a little bit more juicy here. What if you're not a bad guy? What if you're a good guy? Meaning what? You tried to sell your chometz, and something went wrong. Out of control. Now, we saw in the Shulchan Aruch that apparently, even if you're ones, even if you're completely out of control, ones means that you're force majeure, you still can't use the chometz afterwards. So, what could go wrong? So, here are some things that can go wrong. Number one, the rabbi might forget to sell your chometz. What if you find out afterwards that the rabbi lost your form? And he said, I completely forgot to sell your chometz, I'm really sorry. Does that mean your chometz is now prohibited after Pesach or not? Somebody's chatting here. Lost you. You froze. Okay. Am I now unfrozen again? A thumbs up if you can see me. We've become a little bit frozen just for a few minutes. Okay. Can you, oh dear. Okay, so we'll just have to have a slight hiatus until we get back into business again. Okay, am I back with you again? Can you hear me now? Let's have a thumbs up from someone if you can hear me now. Okay, let's have a thumbs up from someone if you can hear me now. Excellent. We just had a little hiatus, a little bubble in Zoom. Just took us away and brought us back again. Okay, so you're back with me. Brilliant. So what if the rabbi forgets to sell your chometz? Are you penalized for that? What if it turns out that the non-Jew who bought all the chometz is in fact Jewish? Yes. Could that happen? Well, it could happen. Yes, it could. By the way, who does the state of Israel sell their chometz to? The state of Israel for the last 20 years or so, has sold their chometz to a hotelier in Abu Ghosh called Jabar Hussein. Jabar Hussein You can even go, I brought you on the in the footnotes here, on the sheet, a little clip to the video of Chief Rabbi Lau going through the Mechiras Chametz. Now, they interviewed the yeshivaworld.com, that illustrious newspaper outlet, actually interviewed Jabba Hussein a couple of years ago and asked him, how do you know that you're really not Jewish? So he said, according to them, and I quote, he said, Jabba assured us that he is a Goy Mahadrim with Muslim roots. Okay, so this is actually a relevant question. Many years ago, Rabbi Brovender said that they called a local Shabbos Goy in Mattersdorf to come and do something on Shabbos for them. And he came in, and just as he was about to switch whatever it was, Rabbi Brovender said to him, wait, how do I know that you're really not Jewish? Maybe you are Jewish. And he said, in Hebrew, I assume, don't worry, Rabbi. He pulled out a card. He said, look, I'm a card-carrying Goy Mahadrin with an issuer by the Rabbanut. So if you want, you could always make sure that someone shows you their card if you're not sure if they... So let's assume that Jabba Hussein is Jewish, but what happens if someone is not Jewish? Let's assume he's not Jewish. What happens if someone is Jewish? I'll tell you what else could go wrong. This could easily go wrong. If somebody from America sells their chametz in America or England and then comes to Israel for Pesach, or the other way round, and they forget to tell the Rav that there's a time zone difference, they end up with the chametz being sold or bought at the wrong time. And they may end up after Pesach finding out that they actually ended up doing this wrong. So what happens if you do it wrong? So let's go on a little bit. Let's look a little bit more at these issues. Okay, fine. Have a look, please, at the sheet that I brought you up on the screen. So the Mishnah Berurah in number 12, which, again, you can read in your own time. The Mishnah Berurah raises this Shaila. And he says, what happens in the following case? He quotes an earlier sefer called the Bet Hillel. The following happened. There was a Jew who had some grain with a non-Jew for weeks and weeks. And this grain was not chometz, it was just raw grain, and the non-Jew held it for the Jew. And all of a sudden, in the middle of Chol HaMoed, this non-Jew decided to do a favor for his Jewish friend. He ground up the grain, he kneaded it, and he baked it into beautiful challahs, and he brought round these challahs for the Jew straight after Pesach, and said to him, look, this is what I did with your grain on Pesach. Look, all these beautiful challahs that you never knew you owned, and enjoy them. What is the halacha here? Because on the one hand, this Jew had no idea that these challahs were being made. They are his challahs, clearly, because it all belongs to him. Is he allowed to eat them or is he not allowed to eat them? What do you think? Yes or no? Yes. A few nods, yes. So the Mishnah Berurah says, look, if you look at the last line of the Mishnah Berurah here, first of all, he says, maybe no. Because at the end of the day, honest, it does say in the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, even if you're honest, you can't eat them, even if it's not your fault. So then he says, "Bebeit Meir, mitzadeh lahatib achila mitam acher." Okay? Maybe it's okay to eat them. The afa gab the pasuk amachab bebeim b'shogeg bebeim b'oynes. Lav kol oynesim shavim. Not all oynes is the same. Not all oynes is the same. But oynes kazer, an oynes of this particular type, maybe the loy haya yochel klal asuki adaisi. There's no way he could ever have imagined sheyafeha akum mikimcha that the non-Jew would bake the challahs. Okay, but vaday loy kansu chacham. Maybe the rabbis just didn't include this. What could he have done? He couldn't have done anything else. Ah, does it help? Just in parentheses, does it help if he did bittel chometz beforehand? So it might not help, because again, even if you did bittel chometz, I mean, you make a statement. I declare all my chometz is null and void and completely omeless. If you didn't bother looking for the chometz, you just made this bittel, so the Shulchan Aruch is clear that this doesn't work. Number 13, chometz shenimsa bebeit Yisrael achar Pesach, osa afa pishe bittel. If chometz is found in your house after Pesach, even if you did a bittel chometz and declared it, that doesn't work, says the Mishnah. Why? Because again, we're worried people might cheat. Ah, but what happens if you did everything? You did a bittel chometz and you looked, you did bedikas chometz and you tried the best you could. So there says the Shulchan Aruch, says the Mishnah Berurah, okay, so maybe that's okay at least to benefit from. Says the Aruch HaShulchan in number 16, no, you can even eat that. There's a limit. if you did everything you could possibly have done, he says, I don't feel, look at this last line, Yesh misa also gam b'chiyai gavna. There are people who are strict, says the Aruch HaShulchan, in late 19th century Navardak. V'chumra yiseirahi lahach mekol kach b'esed rabbanon. And this brings us, segues into the next part. He says, look, at the end of the day, this is an ised rabbanon. This is a rabbinic prohibition. We talking like Rabbi Shimon, not like Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, with the rabbinic prohibition after Pesach, come on, if the guy did everything he possibly could, then what more do you want from him? It should be that this chometz is okay. Which brings me to the case, the fascinating case of the Baal Tshuva's whiskey. This is a real-life case that has come up in a few different situations. Here's how it goes. A fellow becomes Baal Tshuva. He's in his, let's say, 20s, 30s, 40s, and he's very excited about his Judaism. He's taking on this and taking on that. And at a certain point, somebody tells him, aha, you have a very expensive whiskey collection, right? And he says, yes, a beautiful whiskey collection, maybe $5,000-$6,000 worth of whiskey. And then some well-meaning folk say to him, well, you do know that that is all chometz which a Jew owned on Pesach, i.e. you owned on Pesach. The guy is clearly Jewish. He's not a convert. And therefore, all of this chometz needs to be flushed down the sink because all of it is prohibited to drink. And the guy says, you have got to be joking. Are you telling me that in order to become religious, I have to flush my whiskey collection down the sink? And of course, they say to him, well, yes, because doesn't it say in the Shulchan Aruch, even if you're ones, even if you couldn't have done anything about it, then the chometz is still prohibited. Does it go that far? So this raises a few fascinating questions which I want to touch on just for a minute, which are as follows. First of all, what is the status? Someone asked a question before, just I've seen on the group chat, of the guy that bakes challahs for the Jew, is it not Pat Akum? So it could be Pat Akum, yes. There will be another issue of Pat Akum. Really, the Mishnah Berurah was dealing with, could he sell it to somebody else and benefit from the money? But they're dealing with Pat Akum is a whole different question as to how that works. But yes, that is definitely a potential issue. But let's get back to the whiskey. What is the status of chometz owned by a non-observant Jew on Pesach? There were shailos that came up during the Middle Ages, which were basically as follows. Look, we need to sell our chometz. Let's sell it to Pablo Cristiani living down the road. Okay, he used to be Jewish back in the day. You know, he used to be Yankler, but now he's non-Jewish. He's become a Christian. He's happy to buy our chometz. Can we sell it to him? Is that okay or is that not okay? So pretty much all of the poskim clearly said it's not okay. The guy's Jewish. Poskim number 17. Says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and this is poskim that has, and it's pretty much a mainstream approach, Asa limkar es chometz lemuma or lemumeret. You may not sell your chometz before Pesach to a mumar. A mumar is someone who converts from Judaism. The loyla ben mumerit, and also the child of a woman that converts to Christianity. Even if the father's not Jewish, I don't care la'acha shehimira, after they became converted. Ki le'inyan zeh dinan kamo Yisrael. As far as I'm concerned, the halacha is like a regular Jew. The havelechim sheshol Yisrael she'ava la Pesach da'asim ha'ano. And if a non-observant, to the extent that they're a mumar, if a non-observant Jew like this owns chometz on Pesach, even though they're Christian, the chometz is prohibited, and that is basically how the Mishnah Berurah paskens. He says maybe after Pesach you can get them to swap the chometz with someone else and benefit from the money, but he says that is the mainstream approach. But what about someone who is a tinok shenishba? Look here in the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim raises the following question. Chometz shel mumah osel kol Yisrael. The Prima Gadim already is in the 17th century, the 18th century, excuse me, in Poland. He says, Chometz shel mumah osel kol Yisrael. Okay, a non-observant Jew's chometz is still prohibited, and he brings various sources. And then he says, Mikol makom b'dievet torchiyim. Maybe there are ways to look at this differently. D'yesh loyma d'adif mitinek shenishba leben akam. Maybe it's even better if the non-Jew is a tinek shenishba. What is a tinek shenishba? A tinek shenishba is a Jew who never knew they were Jewish, who never knew they had to keep halacha at all. Says the Prima Gadim, maybe if this person was a tinok shenishba, literally means a baby that was captured as a child from non-Jews and brought up as a non-Jew, and then later discovers that they're Jewish. So what more could he have done? He couldn't possibly have known that he was Jewish. The ein lecha einis gadol mizeh. There is no greater honest than this. The Av Yisrael honest asur, and even though the halacha says that if a Jew is anus, couldn't help it, the chometz is still prohibited, there are its faith. Isn't this better? Okay, oh, you can't see the text. Oh, I'm sorry, I do beg your pardon. Someone said they can't see the text. That should be better now. I do apologize. Okay, thank you. The feedback is ever so helpful. Keep sending the messages. Says the Prima Godem, surely a Tinuk Shanishba is in a better situation. So maybe with a Tinuk Shanishba you can be a little bit more lenient, because this is a little bit like the case of the Jew who is completely honest, whose bread was made against his will on Pesach. What more could he have done? In fact, there is an argument which I'm not going to go into now. Rav Menashe Klein, the Ungvar Rav, says, look, a Jew who doesn't keep halacha at all, it doesn't make any sense to prohibit their halacha after Pesach. Why not? Think about it. What was the reason for the original prohibition? It's a rabbinic penalty to stop people from lying and saying that they stole the chometz, but really they kept it over Pesach. Says Rav Menashe Klein, look, a Jew who is so non-observant that they just couldn't care less either way, so it's not going to stop them doing anything. They're just going to eat chometz on Pesach and do what they like anyway. So what's the point of prohibiting everybody's chometz just because of that? So all of these reasons really add up to some sympathy for the particular Baal Tshuva with the whiskey. And in fact, I brought Rav Chaim Greenblatt, a very important posek. He was in Memphis for many years. In his Shabbos and Tshuva's Ruva Voice Ephraim, he came to live in Harnof. He died just a few years ago. He actually deals with this Tshuva explicitly and says that we're going to do everything we possibly can to help this Baal Tshuva to become more religious. We're not going to pour his whiskey down the sink, don't worry. We are certainly going to let him sell it. He can certainly sell it to somebody else and use the money to buy other whiskey. And maybe we'll see if we can find other things to help him as well. But that's the interesting case of the Baal Tshuva whiskey. There's another side issue, which is, I'm not going to get into that because it's not really directly on topic, which is whiskey anyway chometz? Now, let me assure you that it is chometz. In case anyone was already thinking that they're going to have a glass of whiskey at Seder night next year, then whiskey is definitely chometz. But why might it not be chometz? And the answer is, because it's distilled. The Chacham Tzvi, in number 21, gives the mainstream approach, which is zeya, liquid, which was evaporated and then redistilled, which is how you make liquor. That has the same status as the chometz itself, and therefore he talks about whiskey. He's asked the shaila, is whiskey shaila yain saraf? Okay, whiskey hanase lechometz dagan, which is made from grain chometz gomor. Mahu din of a Pesach? What's the halacha on Pesach? And he basically says, the tshuva, that it has the same status as the malt from which it was made. And that's clearly the halacha, and whiskey is chometz from Pesach. The Shulchan Aruch Rav paskens that way. However, there is this lengthy footnote in the Shulchan Aruch Rav itself. The Shulchan Aruch Rav was the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. And his brother makes notes on the actual text. And he says, maybe in the case of whiskey, it might be different. He gives two reasons. Number one, because you sip it in very small quantities. You never drink more than a kazayis in any one go. Okay, maybe that depends on what your whiskey drinking sort of minhagim are, okay? And the other, he says, is because the whiskey doesn't, the grain doesn't really give taste to the final product. It just gives sharpness. And therefore he wants to suggest, and maybe some posts can bring this in as a sniff lahatir, that maybe whiskey, you could say, was not chometz gomor, etc. Look, at the end of the day, exactly what gives whiskey its taste is a big shaila, by the way. Is it the oak? Is it the wood? Is it the sherry? We had a whole shir on sherry cask whiskey. I send you to the website, my website, you can get that off there. What gives whiskey its taste? Not getting into that now. But bottom line, we paskin that whiskey is chometz. Maybe if you know a Baal Tshuva who has a whiskey collection and he's working out what to do with it, so this is a factor to take to the Rav to work this out as well, and we'll try and find a way of making sure that you don't have to flush it down the bathroom. One thing is for sure, by the way, if someone did happen to my father-in-law, he's on the, or someone, if you get a bottle of whiskey during Pesach, the shaila is what to do with it. Somebody brings you a gift on Pesach of whiskey, comes round, they don't realize So that's much harder to actually find any way to hang on to it. I was once, I once found a loophole in a contract for when I was a lawyer for one of my clients, and he was actually Jewish, and I saved him about £500,000. He was very, very happy, needless to say. He bought me a crate of completely Treif high quality champagne, which he had delivered in great fanfare to my office, about $1,500 worth of champagne, which was very exciting, but I couldn't drink a drop of it because it was all Treif, or at least, you know, I couldn't drink it. But I was allowed to sell it, by the way, in that case, so all was not lost. And I sold it and bought some nice whiskey afterwards. But that's a separate question. Okay, fine. Let's move on. Let's talk about a few other things. Let's turn off the sheet just for now and move on to a few other issues. People may not have thought about this, but the issue of chometz after Pesach doesn't only relate to shops. It relates to manufacturers, wholesalers, and distributors. For example, let's say you go to Walmart or Sainsbury's after Pesach. Okay? Now, these are non-Jewish firms. What could be wrong with the chometz? It was all owned by non-Jews on Pesach. Well, what happens if it was supplied by a Jewish supplier during Pesach, who had owned that chometz during Pesach? So the chometz is prohibited, because it was owned by a Jew on Pesach. What happens if you go to a vending machine in April, after Pesach, in a public building, and you buy some kind of chocolate bar, which is chometz, but that chocolate bar was supplied on Pesach by a Jewish distributor, which is quite a reasonable assumption. So this raises all sorts of questions as to how you're going to know your supply chains, etc. And, you know, if you get a chance to look at the sheets, you'll see that the Star K and other kashrus organizations give a lot of guidance as to different stores, how Jewish distributors and Jewish manufacturers, Jewish wholesalers. At the end of the day, if you really can't establish the facts, then sopik the rabbanon l'kula. Then you can rely on the fact that it's a rabbinic prohibition. You really can't work out whether it was Jewish or not. Okay, most people are non-Jewish, most distributors are non-Jewish, you can rely on that, but I just wanted to point out that that is itself a shaila. Another shaila, which we haven't talked about, is what does it mean to own something? I'm trying to ask, was this chometz owned by a Jew or not owned by a Jew? Well, what does that mean? What if I'm not sure whether it was owned by a Jew? Okay, fine. So if you live in a place where the majority of people are non-Jews, America, England, whatever, then I can assume it was owned by a non-Jew. Israel, obviously, I have to assume it was owned by a Jew. What about a Jewish shareholding in a company? If, let's say, Walmart has Jewish share, I'm quite convinced that Walmart has many Jewish shareholders. Okay? Does that mean the chometz was owned by a Jew or not? What is the status of a shareholding? By the way, there's a side issue. What if you own shares in a company, in a Jewish company, which owns chometz on Pesach? Do you have to sell the shares before Pesach with the mechiras chometz? And if you thought about that, for those of you who have got shareholdings in different companies, this is a real shaila. This is a real shaila as to whether your shareholding actually constitutes owning the chometz. So Rav Moshe Feinstein basically says that if the majority shareholding is Jewish, then yes, that's called Jewish owned. If the minority is Jewish, then it's not Jewish owned, unless the shareholder has some managerial or administrative role in the company that they can actually decide policy in some way. And therefore, there's a whole shaila as to how that works. If you're interested in corporate law, which I can see a few lawyers on the share, in principle, halacha does lift the corporate veil. The fact that it's a corporate entity, which of course is not Jewish, because a legal entity cannot be either Jewish or not Jewish, the fact that it's a corporate entity doesn't matter. We lift the corporate veil, and we ask, are the people who really control this company Jewish or not? And if they are, the majority shareholding is Jewish, then that's Jewish-owned chometz. If the minority, then not. Maybe if a public company is different, because a public company, your shareholding is just a share in the income stream. And also, I brought you that Rav Osher Weiss has an interesting position, which is he holds that shareholders themselves don't own anything in a company. It's really the board of directors, the chief executive officer, etc., that owns. There's an enormous amount of material to be discussed on that. What exactly is the status of shareholding? But bottom line, you don't have to worry about it unless the majority or controlling or executive shareholders are Jewish. There is something that some people do, which is to sell the company. I know it sounds like a bad Jewish joke, sell the company. But what if you sell the whole company on Pesach to a non-Jew? is that just a sham? Meaning, let's say there's a Jewish-owned company, and they just sell all the shares in the company, everything, to a non-Jew for 7 days, and then buy it back afterwards. So many Poskim hold that this is clearly just a nonsense, that it's not real. But if there really are Jewish and non-Jewish partners, and it can be structured in a way which is real, and again, I brought you on the sheet a reference to different ways that this could be structured, then maybe you can make it real. Rav Yonah Reis, who is the Avbeistin of the Chicago Rabbinical Council, he has a whole piece in Pesach to Go that was just, I don't know if anyone saw that, from YU. He has a whole piece on how they could maybe structure this so that the sale of the company is real, not just a fake. But these are all things that you have to give some thought to after Pesach. Okay, last couple of points. Okay, fine. There's Jewish-owned chometz. How long do I have to wait? How long do I have to wait after Pesach before I go and buy chometz from a Jewish company that I think owned it on Pesach? So, there is no golden rule. Let me share with you the screen so that you can see this interesting question that Rav Moshe talks about. There is no clear rule. Have a look at this tshuva here of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe was asked a tshuva in 1979 about a Jewish company called Waldbaum's. I'm English, so I don't know anything about American company, but you may know the Jewish supermarket chain Waldbaum's. Maybe I'm not saying it right. They went bankrupt anyway in 2015, so don't worry about it too much. But in 1979, they were going strong. And Rav Moshe was asked, if I go shopping after Pesach in Waldbaum's, who don't sell the chometz, how long do I have to wait till I know that the chometz I'm buying is kosher chometz as opposed to trefa chometz, chometz that they owned on Pesach? So he gives, my mum used to buy from them, says someone on the chat. So people are raising their hands. Waldbaum's obviously a thing. It's a place that your mum used to buy, clearly, rather than you ever bought. It's an old-fashioned Jewish company. Rav Moshe gives two very interesting guidelines. Rav Moshe says, and I'll leave you to read the tshuva in your own time, because it depends. If you're dealing with a large store, where they're not trying to fool people, they just don't close on Pesach. So then, once you reach the point that you can be relatively confident that the majority of the food in the shop, the majority of the chometz is kosher chometz, meaning it came in after Pesach, or it was, you know, sold on Pesach or whatever, then you're good. Once you reach that tipping point that the majority is actually okay, then you don't have to worry because sofik derabanan lekula. However, he says, if you're dealing with a small shop where the guy's basically a schwindler and says you know that the guy basically tries to rip people off, then you may not shop in that shop until you're certain that there is no chometz at all that was there on Pesach. He draws that interesting distinction. And therefore, generally speaking, and I brought you on the sheet, there are no clear rules, but they usually say as follows. In a large supermarket, there's a couple of weeks turnaround for stock. Obviously, it depends what it is. Bread turns around much more quickly. After a week, most of the bread is fresh. Maybe a couple of weeks for cereal, 3 weeks for cookies. There's no golden rules. Usually people say Lag Ba'Omer. Lag Ba'Omer is usually a pretty good guideline. After 4 weeks or so, most of the chometz has turned over. Of course, with whiskey, it's different. With liquor, it's different. and there are some people who would prefer not to purchase liquids like whiskey, like chometz like whiskey, until after Shavuot. And someone just posted on the sheet here, what about people who hold not to purchase chometz until Shavuot? So that makes sense, but only really for whiskey. Meaning no one's selling bread the week before Shavuot that they own during Pesach. Let's hope not, anyway. You wouldn't want to eat it, that's for sure. But for liquor, for sure. For example, in Ben Gurion Airport, the question is, you need to know if you go, halavai, anyone could go to the airport at all at the moment. But when we get back to normal and you can go back to the airport after Pesach, you need to know which stores in Ben Gurion sold the chometz and which didn't. By the way, the big duty, as far as I am aware, the big duty-free store does not sell its chometz, but there is a little duty-free store down one of the aisles there that does sell its chometz, at least that used to be the case. So you need to check that because obviously whiskey, etc., stays around for longer, and most shuls have a local information that they can guide people on. Let's just finish with a couple of unusual cases. So one unusual case that I saw raised is as follows. What about, this was a shayla that was asked to the Eretz Chemda Beis Din. This fellow said the following. He said, look, I'm a Baal Tshuva. I live with my parents. My mother is Jewish, but not observant. And they eat chametz on Pesach. And my father is not Jewish. So after Pesach, there's chametz in my parents' home. If it's owned by my father, then I can eat it, because it was chametz of a non-Jew during Pesach. And if it's owned by my mother, then I can't eat it, because it's chametz owned by a Jew on Pesach, subject to the question of whether a non-religious Jew or non-observant Jew has the same halacha for this. Okay? Very interesting shayla, right? And the Eretz Chemda, I brought you the link, the Eretz Chemda Beis Din wrote back to him and said to him that since the prohibition of chametz is rabbinic, you can invoke the principle of breira. You can say that since I don't know whether this chametz is my father's bit or my mother's bit, then after Pesach, when I take the chametz, I can assume it's coming from my father, in this particular case, which is non-Jewish chametz. He said the best is to get your father to give you the chametz, but that might be a bit tricky. I don't exactly know how the house situation works, whether you can go to the father and say, hi dad, can you just take chametz and give it to me because you're not Jewish? And I can imagine quite a lot of family difficulties with that one. But people have those issues. And the last case, which I want to share with you, was a shayla asked Rav Willig this year. So in America, a Jewish family living in America asked the following shayla to Rav Willig. They said to him, our next door neighbors are Israeli. And they're in Israel, they're in America, excuse me, for a while. They're just, for Pesach, they probably got stuck there or something because of all the, you know, flights being cancelled. So they only kept 7 days of Pesach because they're Israeli. They didn't keep the 8th day of Pesach. And on 8th day Pesach, which they weren't keeping, but we were keeping, they made challahs. And they brought them round after Yom Tov and presented us with these challahs and said, look what we made for you, because we're Israeli. We can do that, right? We only keep 7 days Pesach. Can we eat the challahs? Okay, what do you think? Yes or no? No. I'm getting a lot of thumbs down. So Rav Willig said, Paskin, you may not eat the challahs. An Israeli in Chutz La'aretz is required to keep the 2nd day of Yom Tov as well. Maybe not entirely the same way that the Americans or whatever keep it, the Chutznikim keep it, but they're certainly not allowed to eat Pesach. They can't do anything like that. And therefore, the Chometz has the status of Chometz, She'avah Lava Pesach. They're not allowed to eat it. But the number of permutations and combinations of questions that come up on this is really, I think, very, very, sort of very fascinating in different areas. What happens if you go to the supermarket and there are 10 bottles of tomato ketchup? And 3 of them were from chametz from Pesach, and several of them are for not, but you don't know which ones are which. Can you buy any of them? Can you buy all of them? These are all questions that come up as well. There we might be a bit more lenient. I brought it on the sheet. Anyway, that's pretty much all we've got time for. As I said, next week, complete change of topic. I want to get into this issue of women in the IDF, which is tricky because on the one hand we're extremely proud of young idealistic Zionist women who want to serve their country. On the other hand, there are halachic issues, hashkafic issues that we need to address and deal with, and we need to try and find a balanced route through that. That's going to be an exciting topic in Yed Hashem for Yom HaTzma'ut. Between now and then, I wish you a very good week. I hope you stay safe. I hope you're able to get out a little bit and get some fresh air. And please God, we should meet up again this time next week or whenever you can. And really thank you for joining. Baruch Hashem, we had a big crowd, nearly 70 people on the share. Thank you for joining us, and we'll leave it here for now. But if you have any questions, you know where to get a hold of me. You can send me an email or a WhatsApp. I'd be very happy to hear from you. So I wish you all the very best. Have a great week. Thanks, Miriam, again for the sponsorship. And look forward to seeing you very, very soon.
Thank you ever so much. I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stay healthy and optimistic.
Yes, there's Rafa Shem. Thank you so much. Speak to you all soon.
Hello.